Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have a very, very accomplished professional from Trinidad and Tobago, Akila Riley Richardson. Akila, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Ashutosh.
Akila is a certified relational life therapist, a facilitator, and a certified clinical trauma professional. So, Akila, let me start by asking you, tell me a little bit about your own amazing journey.
So I've been in the field for about 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I started actually studying business,
mm-hmm.
right? And when I wanted to further my studies in business, I felt this calling inside. And the calling inside said, you know, one day you'd be doing different kind of work. Mm-hmm. And the work you're doing would be in the field of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I made the switch immediately to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that into social work, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a BSc in psychology and a master's in social work. And, you know, one of the things that I like is that I've been able to work in different spheres. So I've been able to work in the public service here in Trinidad and Tobago as a probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to work in the NGO sector,
right,
doing facilitation and workshops for different people. And I branched off largely into private practice.
Mm-hmm.
So in my private practice, I am a couples therapist. I actually no longer identify as a certified relational life therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I identify now as a relational healing facilitator, which is my own thing that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I work a lot with couples. A lot of my work is around working with couples, especially couples who are on the margins. And when I say couples who are on the margins, I mean LGBTQI couples,
mm-hmm.
Couples that are from the BIPOC community, which is Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I work even with white couples, various couples from various parts of the
mm-hmm.
world. And I work with persons who've experienced considerable
mm-hmm.
trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? So I do work in trauma as well. That's what a lot of my training is. And alongside with that, I do a lot of teaching and training.
Mm-hmm.
So in my training, I train other therapists, you know, to do this work that we do. And I also train future
mm-hmm.
Social workers, because I educate at the University of the Southern Caribbean here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when I think about training, yeah, I don't just see it as me depositing knowledge in people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want an opportunity for persons, especially the senior therapists that I work with,
mm-hmm.
to generate their own ideas and their own thoughts about how they'd like to do their practice.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I see teaching and training as me sharing, me facilitating, but me enabling other therapists to kind of create their own models and their own ideas of doing the work, as opposed to just me depositing and banking information. So a huge part of my work is around training other therapists and supporting other therapists to generate new ideas about how to do this work that we do, and working with marginalized folk as
Very
well.
Interesting. Very interesting. So before we get into the work that you're doing, when I was reading about you, there was an interesting question, which was that, what do you want people to truly know about you?
What do I want people to truly know about me? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
As I hear that question, I go within myself a lot to make sure that I'm answering these things with honesty. I want people to know that I am a Black woman from the Global South,
mm-hmm.
and that because of these identities, I have the ability to create and generate knowledge. And, you know, I live in a post-colonial space. I live in a space that was colonized, you know, by various European entities. And so a lot of times, those of us who exist in this part of the world don't always believe that we could create and generate knowledge. We take information from other parts of the world. I want to know that at this point in my journey, I am embracing my practice with creativity, and I'm embracing my practice with a commitment to generate and create knowledge and to support other people's creation of knowledge. And I want them to know that not because I want them to revere me, it's because I want them to see that same competence in themselves. So I see myself as, like, this is my mission. I am supposed to demonstrate the capacity to create as a Black woman from the Global South. And I see that it's very important for other people of color to know that they can create and generate as well.
Thank you. What a great response. So let's talk a little bit about counseling. You said you're doing a lot of work with couples therapy, counseling and therapy.
Yes.
Tell me, what are some of the challenges you have addressed with couples?
All right. So there's several. I would say, well, some of the things that we know, poor communication, that's a huge one. Infidelity, when I'm working with couples who are trying to journey through infidelity, that's or journey past infidelity, that's difficult because, of course, infidelity is a huge trauma, a huge
Correct.
traumatic experience for the person on the receiving end. So that's really, really difficult. I would say for the couples that I work with who are BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, they experience things like racism, xenophobia, and those things then affect their relationship and how they interact with each other. And so that is a huge challenge, like, for them, just kind of trying to be able to keep themselves connected, in the face of all of these challenges that they experience. I say infidelity, poor communication, and just having to deal with the wider systemic issues and challenges that they may have to face as well.
Interesting. And what is the process that you follow when you start to work with them?
So the process has changed a lot. Now, as I told you, I now identify as a relational healing facilitator. I was trained in models, and what I've done is I've sat with the models and with myself, and what I think is just the inherent wisdom of people, me as a person, as a human being, as an African descendant, and thought about, okay, what is the model approach I want to use? And the approach I use is now something called PRIDE, PRI. I've created this thing. So P means pivot, R means rumble, I means imagine, D is develop, and E is evolve. So I'm always asking my couples to pivot, right? I want them to, and they're pivoting within and without, turning inward and turning outward. They're looking at their relationship dynamics and they're looking outside to figure out, what might be creating it from the outside and what might be creating it from the inside. So they're always pivoting,
Correct.
right? And then they're rumbling. They're rumbling with this information, now that they've realized that what's feeding our behavior, how do, where did we learn this? Why is this happening to us? Rumbling and figuring that out. I just imagine. For me, imagination is a word that you hear me use a lot. I remember there's this author, writer, and activist that I love. Her name is Adrienne Marie Brown. And she says that we are in an imagination battle, and that imagination is one of the spoils of colonialism. And so people often sometimes struggle with imagination. So I often ask my couples to try to imagine new ways of being outside of the current challenges that they have. I call it relational imagination. And then I ask them with me to develop those new ways. What do you want those new ways to look like? And after they begin to construct and take charge of what they want their new ways to look like, then the last question, the last thing, evolve, sorry, is now that you've developed these new ways of being, what does that mean for you? What is your new identity now? Because it was the old identity and the old understanding that was feeding your behavior. Who are you now in light of all that you've done and rumbled with and imagined and developed for your relationship? So that's the process I'm working through now, PRIDE. And I'm taking this, quite frankly, into all my work now with my clients. The PRIDE model, yes, It's some steps. It's not necessarily sequential. It works differently with different people. And in it, I use various strategies. Some strategies from my client's culture, or I use strategies from existing models in the work, that existing theories and therapeutic models, because you know we can learn from those who've come before us. Yeah. So different strategies and different techniques are used within this, but it's really a model to get my clients to just imagine and create new ways of being in their relationships.
Wonderful, thank you. My next question to you, Akhila, is what or how has the pandemic impacted relationships?
Oh my, you know, when I remember doing several workshops about this, because during the pandemic, some people were getting closer, but some people were having more challenges.
Correct.
Because you see, people now had to live in the same space all the time. Going out to work, you know, because that's what the pandemic did, right? At the beginning of the pandemic, we were all home with each other and there was no break, you know. So if you had tensions in your relationship, the tensions would emerge,
correct,
you know, when you had to coexist in the same space. So the pandemic really created somewhat of some hostile relationships that we had to work through. But we were able to do that. I think the pandemic, if I may answer about even individuals, the pandemic really led to increase in like depression and anxiety and that kind of thing as well. You know? So that was what the pandemic did to the couples, at least, and the individuals that I worked with.
And you know, you mentioned you know, infidelity is one of the big causes for stress in relationships. What would you say are some of the other causes?
I would say that many of us don't know how to process our emotions. And we don't know the difference between what we feel and reality. So many of us, you know, we believe that once we feel something in our bodies, it means it's true. So if I'm feeling angry, it means somebody outside is trying to upset me. You know, if I'm feeling sad, I mean, somebody's trying to. And so I found that people struggle with emotional intelligence. People struggle with being able to look within, name their emotions, and understand that emotions are generated not just based on what's happening in your present, but things that happened to you in your past and things that happened to you in the wider system. So when I sit with my couples, I found the ability to name emotions and to be able to track and trace where is this coming from. Yes, I'm feeling this thing, but can I understand that this thing may be rooted, yes, in the present, but also in my own past experiences? I found that people struggle with that. The second thing I found as well is that people struggle with making up stories about each other. You know, we love to, like I always say to my couples, I say a lot of times when I sit down and do this work, it's because you all are making up stories about each other that are not entirely true.
Yeah.
And it's my responsibility to come in and have you do the pivoting work within and without, turning out when and in, well, out when it worked. Yeah, and helping you to see, you know what, let's imagine, let's rumble with the stories that we make up with each other, make up about each other, and see if we can find different ways of understanding each other.
How interesting. You also said, you know, that when I was reading about you, that you have experience in working with couples and persons practicing consensual non-monogamy.
Yes. Yeah.
Help me understand what this means and what kind of work are you doing there?
Okay. So, you know, some people practice monogamy, which is basically, you know, having one partner, right? Some people have more fluid engagements, right? So they may have multiple partners and it's consensual, you know, we all agree to it. We all say, you know what, I'm going to have multiple partners, right? And, you know, when I do that kind of work, there's work around what we call polyamory, you know, and I help support people to understand, you know, what are the rules of engagement? Because if you're engaging in consensual non-monogamy, you need to ensure that we're all clear about the rules. We're all clear about people's roles and responsibilities, right? So that's really, really important, because if you don't have rules, people could get hurt. Yeah. So a lot of my stuff is around that. And sometimes people develop, you know, what's called a primary partner or secondary partner, you know, who is their next, who's not. So these are all the things that we talk through. You know, Martha Kalpe has a lot of work on polyamory and how to engage in that. You know, some of those things inform how I work as well. So it's really about helping people to structure, if they so choose, to have to exist in polyamory and consensual non-monogamy, to have structures that work for them.
You know, I've never heard of this before, so I'm going to ask you one more question on this for my viewers and listeners. You say there
Yes.
should be rules for multiple partners, if between and everyone has to agree to the same set of rules. Can you help me understand, maybe by way of example, one or two kinds of rules?
Well, and here's the thing, right? I don't impose the rules.
No, I know, I know, I know.
I have the couples decide, okay, so if you are, if let's say it's three of us, right? Who is going to live with whom? You know, what are the arrangements around contact? What are the arrangements around sex? What are the arrangements around child rearing? Those kinds of things we kind of have to talk about. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that we have to talk about, because if we don't talk about those things, you know, it can people can get hurt. In fact, I have heard in the field people say sometimes that couples who practice consensual non-monogamy, sometimes because they have to have so much clarity and structure, sometimes they have an easier path than couples who practice monogamy. Because when you practice monogamy, you probably don't need to have certain, you just assume certain things, right? You just
Society
assume,
has defined everything for us, you know.
right? And you just assume certain things. But you know, in my work, I've realized that just because you assume certain things doesn't mean we're all on the same page. But
Correct.
in consensual non-monogamy, people get forced now to have hard conversations that they don't necessarily think they need to have with monogamy. So it's basically when I do this work, it's basically people being clear about what do you want for yourself. You know, I'm here with no judgment. This is your life. What do you want? And I know I'm polyamory and polygamy are not new concepts
Correct.
entirely. You know,
Correct.
many societies do practice polygamy, you know, and polyamory, of course, is a form of that.
Very interesting. Akila, you also do work with sexual minorities and racial minorities. Now,
Yes,
I
yes.
can understand sexual minorities because you told me about LGBTQI.
Yes.
But what are racial minorities, and what are the kind of work you're doing, or what are the challenges sexual minorities and racial minorities face?
Yeah. So when I say racial minorities, like before, you would have heard me mention BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color. And of course, so I'm a racial minority, you know. And when we say minority, we're talking about the people in the world who, because of our structures of colonialism and neo-imperialism and racism, we are in many ways disempowered, right? And so my work with these groups currently is about building empowerment and helping people to move past racial trauma. And I say move past cautiously because you can't really move past it because it's happening all the time. Yeah. But helping people to observe the impact of systemic trauma or racial trauma, racism, and minority stress on their mental health and on their relationships, a huge part of my work. Like I started this institute called the BIPOC Relational Healing Institute, right? And a huge part of that is being able to support BIPOC to examine the impact of racism and discrimination on their relationships. How do you relate to your families? How do you relate to your children? How do you relate to your spouses or your partners as a result of the systemic stress? How has historical trauma, you know, how has colonialism, how all these things shaped your self-understanding and how you engage with your children, your families? Because I've seen it. You know, I have in this work that I do, one of the tools I use is a technique called the theater of oppression. And I ask people, you know, in the theater of oppression, what role are you playing? And then how is that role affecting how you understand yourself? And how is that role affecting how you understand your partner or how you interact with your partner? Yeah. You know, the research is showing us that persons who experience considerable racism and stress, their brains are more wired for th to be responsive to threats. Their brains are on more alert. Yeah. So how do we, when people are walking in the world feeling so stressed and on more alert, on higher alert, sorry, it's going to affect how they interact with their children and their
Right,
family, etc.
right,
So my
right.
work is around supporting people with that.
Very interesting. So, we've got time for one more question. And Akila, this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey and all the great work you're doing with so many people in the area of therapy, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away when they think of their own relationships?
When they think of their own relationships, let me sit with that a
I'm
little
asking you
bit.
to give free advice.
Yeah, three. See, be careful of the stories that you make up about those around you. The human brain is always making up stories, and not everything that you think is necessarily true of the other. So be careful of these stories. Number two, your emotions are a compass. They're giving information a lot about yourself and how you've experienced the world, your own experiences, the experiences of your ancestors. And let the comfort, let the compass, sorry, give you a deeper understanding of you. And three, it's okay to reach out for support, and the support you usually need to have is support that is compassionate and understanding. Yeah, because when you are in distress, your brain needs compassion and understanding to be able to soothe and regulate itself. So those are the three pieces of advice: your
Fascinating.
stories, emotions, and get your support if you need.
Fascinating. And on that note, Akila, and your three wonderful lessons, be careful of the stories you make up about one another. We all tend to do that when we are in a little bit of stress and our mind always gets overactive and we start saying all kinds of things. So very powerful advice. Second, you said was emotions are a compass and be careful about how you take directions from this compass. But also
Yes.
listen to your compass. And the third one,
Yes.
again, very important is it is okay to reach out for support. Thank you so much, Akila, for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your own journey, about the challenges that the people face in relationships. Thank you for talking to me about PRIDE, which is your own developed acronym for different stages of work that you do with them. And finally, thank you for talking to me in so much detail about the different forms of therapy and support you give to so many different groups of people and minorities. Thank you for speaking
Excellent.
to me and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.